Welcome to the Young'uns Podcast. My name is David Eagle, and together with my good friends Michael Hughes and Sean Cooney, we travel the country and Europe performing as the folk group The Young'uns. And you may think you know a reasonable amount about The Young'uns. We thought we knew a reasonable amount about ourselves, but that was before the true identities of myself, Michael and Sean were revealed. The secrets of our makeup were laid bare before us. Because a few weeks ago we stayed with a palm reader, and we'll be bringing the results of that palm reading. Who are David Eagle, Michael Hughes and Sean Cooney? Find out, courtesy of a palm reader, this week on The Young'uns Podcast. Yes, we stayed with some rather unusual people, or some interesting people, I should say, more polite, including a radical vicar, someone who keeps roadkill in a big freezer, and a sculptor. And we'll be telling you more stories about the people we've been staying with over the course of the podcast. Also this week, find out why I have a bone to pick with Eliza Carthy. Also, at a recent gig in a place called North Boarhunt, the audience wanted Michael Hughes to derobe. They were quite adamant about it, but would Michael Hughes give in to public pressure? Find out. Plus, it's the return of Folk in Focus, the, some would say, one true folk news service, tackling the subjects that other folk publications, magazines, programmes and websites just don't have the balls to cover. This week on Folk in Focus, James Fagan is under the spotlight. It's also the return of our quiz, the Folked Up Folk Song. Can you identify the folk song? In the past, we have reversed folk songs or warped them with a variety of audio effects. This week, it's a bit different. We're asking you, can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? And music-wise, we have live music from the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester from our friends, our Polish friends, Brassy, singing two excellent unaccompanied songs. All that and more to come on this week's Young'uns Podcast, which is entitled National Pervert Day. And we'd like to dedicate this week's Young'uns Podcast to our good friend Terry Ferdinand. And listeners to the Out With The Old podcast series that we did at the start of the year may remember Terry as the radio presenter who did a folk radio show on a community radio station in Teesside. And the Out With The Old podcast, of course, featured highlights from our podcast that we did between 2006 and 2008. And a key character was Terry Ferdinand. And our relationship first started when I essentially noticed that his radio show had quite a lot of mistakes in there. A lot of technical errors and a lot of other things. And I thought it was quite funny, basically, to mercilessly rip it apart. You know, I tried to do it in a comedic way, but I don't think I pulled any punches. I mean, I kind of, it's probably something I wouldn't do now. I was a more immature version of myself. But rather than Terry seeing this as bullying, he rose to the bait absolutely brilliantly. He actually played clips of me talking about him on his own radio show, and he was very magnanimous about it. And we ended up becoming friends, and he came on the podcast quite a few times and told some brilliant stories, a few great stories about hitchhiking. And you can hear Terry on the Out With The Old podcast. But the reason we're dedicating the podcast to Terry this week is because Terry unfortunately died this week. Rest in peace, Terry, an excellent friend of myself and the Young'uns, and also the podcast as well. Respected and loved by many, especially among the folk community in Teesside. Did a lot for folk music. So rest in peace, Terry. We'll dedicate the podcast to you. I'm not sure whether Terry would really want a podcast entitled National Pervert Day to be dedicated to him, but apologies, Terry. But, you know.
One of the many joys
of doing this folk lark is travelling the length and breadth of the country, and we probably passed or gone through every tiny and small village in the country. And a lot of these villages have very interesting place names. I think we should keep a diary of some of the odd names for villages that we pass, because we went through a village recently on our trip to Cromer Festival. We went through a village called Little Snoring, and apparently there's an adjoining village, someone told us, called Great Snoring as well. Little Snoring was a rather interesting place, and we're going to talk about it now as we head to Cromer Festival.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here tonight. And sorry that we've missed all the fun. Everyone we've spoken to said they've had a wonderful weekend so far. We just arrived today and we drove through about five different seasons on the way to. And then we drove through a place called Little Snow.
Little Snowy?
Yeah. Where everyone goes UKIP, apparently. So we told the people of Little Snow to wake up.
We're actually UKIP supporters, but we, never let it get in the way of a good joke.
Find out why I'm annoyed at Eliza Carthy next, but first, from the Royal Northern College of Music, live, this is Brassy. Goodness, Van Diemen's Land from Brassy, live at their recent gig at the Royal Northern College of Music. But right now it's to our gig in North Borehunt in Hampshire, where the audience seemed rather keen for Michael Hughes to derobe.
Do the let me go, me girls, do the let me go.
National Sound Like a Pervert Day, so that's why I've been letting you know. When you've had to then.
Three Sailors.
As Michael apparently fancies Three Sailors. We'll find out more about that in a second. Just what happens, though, coincidentally, the next song we're going to sing, I think, is also called Three Sailors.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Most supportive there.
Well, is that even not in the
show? I'll say boiling, but I'm not trying to not give it away. You can take it off, you idiot. What's some sort of weird pride going on here?
No, I'm just like, no. Go on.
All right, fair enough.
Have you only got a diddy vest on us?
Yes.
Oh, we might sit down the second half then. I shall look like a pervert, dear.
Will Michael remove his jumper? Find out as the podcast continues. But from Fareham in Hampshire to Cheltenham, we head now to the Cheltenham Festival, where we were supporting Eliza Carthy.
Where's the Gurney?
Yes, this.
No, Mr. Hughes, Mr. Gurney. Yes. There's a little problem here with one of our artists tonight. All right. I don't know if we have problems. I think we all get on very well, I think it's safe to say. Well, I think we're all kind of one big family, I think it's safe to say, almost in the folk world. We all kind of get on really well. Well, that's what I thought. There's a little problem I have with Eliza Carthy, Michael, I'd like to tell you about. And I'm just going to keep this between us here tonight.
It was between us and 400 other people. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that'll be absolutely fine. But the problem is, you see, we've been out with Eliza Carthy, haven't we? We've talked to her, you know, in passing. We've been out for a meal, meals with her and things like that. We've worked on projects with her. I'd like to consider her a sort of a friend, in inverted commas. I'm not saying a best friend, but I'd like to think of a friend. So imagine my horror, Mr. Hughes, when I get told from Mr. Cooney. He says, I've requested Eliza Carthy to be my friend on Facebook. And she has not obliged. She's had really enough. So anyway, it gets worse because then I say, oh, well, don't worry, Sean, I shall, because Michael wasn't on Facebook at this point. Michael's not on Facebook. So I said, don't worry, I'll see what she does to them then. So I sent her a little message and a friend request. And sure enough, 8 months has gone by, no friend acceptance from Eliza Carthy. Now imagine my horror when Mr. Hughes, who's been off Facebook for some time, and then what happened was, so Michael went on Facebook and he requested Eliza Carthy to be his friend. And you won't believe it, she accepted within 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
5 bloody minutes! I'm very annoyed about this. I was looking forward to playing Farmville or Candy Crush Saga with Eliza Carthy. Or maybe she's got her own version, Carthy Crush Saga, you know. But it's not to be. Well, I'm saying this, if Eliza's in the audience, I am not continuing this gig unless you accept me as a friend. I have my phone here. We can be here all night for all I care.
After the gig, Eliza Carthy did accept my friend request. So, victory there. I'd like to say that we've been chatting a lot since then, instant messaging each other and sharing emoticons and poking each other and throwing sheep at each other or whatever else you can do on Facebook, but we haven't, to be honest. Anyway, is Michael going to remove this jumper or not? It's back to North Bourhunt.
No!
We pissed it all through that break of the bloody jump. That's the only goal. Well, very little must happen in this
It's a special treat. I tell you what, if we... we'll have the CD cables over there. If we get an announcement that we sold 50 CDs before the end of the gig...
I tell you what, if we get an announcement we're selling 50, the whole lot's coming up. And
right, we've sold 11 so far. 39 to go. Excellent.
It won't happen.
Well, we'll see whether it happens or not before the podcast elapses. But first, it's time for the Forked Up Folk Song. Can you identify the folk song from these food-based lyrical clues? Don't worry, all will become clear, hopefully, as we head to our singing weekend in Kendal. Here to explain more about it is myself, in front of the people at the singing weekend. It's time for the Forked Up Folk Song. Listen carefully.
Food in folk. Food in folk. Okay? So, listen carefully to this one because it might be quite a difficult concept for you. Identify the folk song from the food-related clues. I have replaced the words of the song with foods that sound similar to the actual words. Okay?
For instance, the folk song The House Carpenter. It doesn't matter if he knows or not, listen to what's going on. It has the lyrics. Well met, my own true love. Well met, cried he. But using similar sounding foods to replace the lyrics to give you clues in the song, I might say, whale meat, pie, corn, there's an ice cream cone, stew, dove. Whale meat, fried brie. Okay? Stop. Okay. This is a nice, easy one, okay? Look at this. Sandwich, gourmet feta, coleslaw. Ribeye place, per pavlova, dough, feta, coleslaw. Okay? Sandwich, gourmet feta. Gourmet feta coleslaw, ribeye place, per pavlova, dough feta coleslaw.
I think it's quite an easy one to start things off. It gets harder, my friend, so if you're struggling with this one, next week should be quite interesting. But have a little think about that. We shall reveal the answer at the end of the podcast. But now it's time, enough frivolity, it's time for some hard-nosed folk journalism. It's time for the return of Folk in Focus, the new service that tackles the subjects in folk music that other folk music publications and magazines, newspapers, programmes just aren't covering. Either because they haven't got the balls to cover it or just because they haven't got the journalistic nous to sniff out a good story. But Folk in Focus, exclusive to the Young 'Uns podcast, is back with two new journalists who have been headhunted especially to bring you the folk stories that matter. It's time to join Folk in Focus. Hello and welcome to Folk in Focus with me, Melodian.
And me, Penny Whistle.
This week on Folk in Focus, James Fagan provides food for thought. Yes, the award-winning folk performer James Fagan took to Facebook recently to express his love for Greek salad. We've got more on this story now as we cross to Folk in Focus's food and drink correspondent, John Dunning. Thank you very much indeed, Mel. Yes, a recent Facebook status posted by the award-winning multi-instrumentalist and folk singer James Fagan declares his enthusiasm for Greek salad. The 42-year-old Australian posted the status after enjoying the dish for his lunch, writing, "I just ate a massive bowl of homemade Greek salad. Forget just how awesome it is. Don't worry, I didn't take a photo of it." A joke referring to the trend for people to post photos of their food on Facebook. Listeners to the Young 'Uns podcast were recently given an insight into Mr. Fagan's food preferences. He revealed that he is also partial to barbecue food.
"I couldn't be better, mate. Just had a barbecue in the back garden. Burn a few sausages and try and impress the missus."
But Mr. Fagan will certainly be aware that you can't live entirely off barbecued food. Being a qualified medical doctor, he will know all about the importance of a healthy, balanced diet. The exact nature and contents of James Fagan's Greek salad is not yet known, but typically a Greek salad comprises a mix of olives, tomatoes, cucumber, pepper, red onion, lettuce, feta, with the addition of red wine vinegar and olive oil. We will, of course, bring you more on this story as and when we get it. John Dunning, Folk in Focus's food and drink correspondent, back to you in the studio. Thank you very much indeed, John. But as ever, we want you to interact with us on Folk in Focus. And we've been asking you for your suggestions of favourite foods for other folk performers. So what foods might other folk performers like? You can tweet us, you can text us, you can email us, you can phone us, fax us, Facebook us, Bebo us, MySpace us, MSN message us, Skype us, Google Talk us, Teletext us, YouTube us, RedTube us, Audio Boom us, or locate one of our yoghurt pots that we have situated across the country. Simply pull the string nice and tight and just shout your message into the yoghurt pot, where one of our researchers will be keenly waiting at the other end to hear what you have to say. But of course, here on Folk in Focus, we make it our mission to make sure that everyone and anyone has the ability to interact with the programme. We're fully inclusive, which is why we're pleased to announce that we are now accepting drum telegraphy. If we have any listeners from the Tangu tribe of New Guinea, we now have a pool of researchers dedicated to interpreting your drum messages, so feel free to beat away. We apologise to any other ancient African and American tribal listeners who would like to communicate using drum telegraphy, but rest assured that we are working on integrating other forms of drum communication in the near future. Now, Penny's been analysing the social network platforms. What have you got for us, Penny?
Well, on Twitter, it's hashtag folk food all the way. Billy67 suggests that James Fagan's musical and marital partner, Nancy Kerr, would be rather fond of a custard cream. Terence on Facebook says scone Bowden. Presumably that would come with jam Sweeney. Nigel in Swansea says, I too am very partial to a Greek salad. Guess that's another thing that I've got in common with James Fagan. I'm also Australian, you see. Spooky. Although, I must admit, I can't sing.
Would it be interesting to find out just how many of our listeners like Greek salad and how many don't like Greek salad? Just how popular is Greek salad among the Folk in Focus listenership? So come on, people, let's hear from you. Are you in the yes camp or the no camp when it comes to Greek salad? Salad. Continue, Penny.
Thank you very much indeed, Mel. Chicken Korma Waterson says Jenny. Brian, via a yoghurt pot in Dundee, said porridge, presumably for Jackie Oates. And that's what we've got for now, Mel.
Well, you say that's all for now, Penny, but I've actually found a message on Bebo that you've somehow missed, which is a bit of a shame, really, Penny, to be honest, because I think it's actually quite good. In fact, I wouldn't even go so far as to say better than some of the ones that you've actually chose, Penny. It's from Sarah in Oxford, and it says, I imagine that Nancy Kerr, Faye Heald, Seth Lakeman and Martin Simpson would all be partial to a full English. A joke there by the fact that all those folk artists took part in the recent full English project, Penny. So it's a shame you missed that, really. But a good job that I'm here. Then again, I suppose you did only get a third in your journalism degree, didn't you, Penny? Whereas I got a 2-2. And I think we've just seen the difference between a 2-2 and a third right there, Penny. But never mind, you'll probably still get promoted before I do, Penny, because you are, of course, a woman.
Well, I think...
Thank you very much indeed, Penny. And before we go, there's just time for the results of our poll. We asked you whether you liked or disliked Greek salad. Well, the results are in. Let's cross now to Folk in Focus's data aggregator and analyst, John Dunning. Thank you very much indeed, Mel. And yes, the results are in. I will now represent the data that we've gathered using frequency modulation. This is a 440 Hz sine wave tone. Now, if the frequency modulates downwards, then that will represent a negative result for Greek salad. And the lower the frequency modulates, the less people's enthusiasm for Greek salad, and vice versa. The higher the sound, the greater the yes vote for Greek salad. Now, before we get the result, it is perhaps worth noting that our research carried out by the Folk in Focus Equality and Diversity Monitoring Department indicates that 67% of our people who interact with us on these kinds of polls identify themselves as white British. 48% are male and 7% are homosexual or bisexual. That's quite interesting. It may be worth keeping that in mind as we hear the results today. So there you go. As you can hear, the frequency has modulated up almost an octave there to 870 Hz, meaning quite a positive reading for Greek salad. And with that revelation, it's back to you in the studio. Thank you very much indeed, John. Do you like Greek salad, Penny?
Yes, I do.
Excellent contribution. Thank you very much indeed, Penny. I was hoping for a little bit more from you there, Penny, to be honest. Let me show you how it's done, Penny. Ask me if I like Greek salad, Penny.
Do you like Greek salad, Mel?
Yes, very much indeed, Penny. In fact, when I make a Greek salad, I like to squirt a little bit of lemon over the top. I find it adds an extra zestiness and freshness that really sets the salad off. See what I did there, Penny? I provided some extra information on top of simply saying yes, and I delivered that information in a fun, light and easy-to-digest form. All I can say is it's a good job you're a woman, Penny, with reasonably large knockers. Thank you very much indeed for all your communications, and thank you very much indeed for listening. From me, Mel Odeon.
And me, Penny Whistle.
It's thank you very much indeed, and goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, and goodbye.
I have to say, I think that Penny has got quite an odd voice for a woman, hasn't she? But I know she'd be sort of judgmental. Maybe she's got a sore throat or something. We'll see how she sounds next time round on the podcast. Now, as we said, we've stayed with some rather unusual people. We'll be talking about the sculptor and the radical vicar that we stayed with, and the woman who kept the roadkill in a massive freezer. But first, it's time to hear about our palm reading experiences. And to do this, we shall head to our gig at Aldershot. And I think there's also a clip from our gig at North Boarhunt where we take up the story as well.
Well, we promised we'd tell you about these palm readings.
Oh, good point.
But it all started because when I flew down yesterday to Bristol, I got there before these guys.
He didn't mean he drove very fast. He did actually fly to Bristol.
So when I got there,
we're not really giving this reputation of hard living folk singers very good. And I flew private
to Bristol.
Yes, he gets in the house and he rang us up and he said,
"All right, mate."
Well, yeah, I was telling the story. You just
can't. No, it's going to take very long.
All right, fine. You just can't.
It's going to take
quite. You tell them what was said when I first got there.
Well, feel free to.
Thank you very much.
I've already talked.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I got there first, and a lovely couple we were staying with. I had a lovely chat with them, and then there was this lady that came down. And said, "Oh, this is my friend Di." I said, "Oh, he died, fine."
So this is all incidental detail, Michael. I have to tell the story. Anyway, we had a cup of tea. I had mine 1.5 sugars, as is customary for myself. Di, if I remember, had hers without milk. This is going on a bit, isn't it? You see what I mean? Well, continue. We want to see how the story pans out. Well, here we go. So what happened next, Michael?
You take up the story. I don't care now. You tell us.
We went to get a palm reading. Michael Hughes. He hasn't got long to live.
Well, she said to me, I said, "What do you do with palms?" So she looked at my lifeline. And she just looked and she said, "Yeah, you'll be dead when you're 40.
The best thing was she said before, she said, "I'll give you this for free."
That's what you want to pay for, is it?
You'll be dead when you're 40. That's £20, please.
Said to you?
Well, yeah, she said to me that you're in a relationship, aren't you? I said, yes. She said, "It's more physical than spiritual, isn't it?"
I thought, well, I don't know, I don't want to say it, but
goodness knows how she got that from looking at my hands.
I was in my...
We told Mr. Cooney worries quite a bit. Sean worries quite a bit, so she didn't tell Sean his lifespan. So goodness knows what that means.
Which made me worry even more.
What did she say to you, Mr. Cooney?
She said I was very romantic and sensitive. Oh, God.
Well, we've been sharing a bed with him for the last week. I mean, I tell you that is very true.
I'll tell you about some of the other people we stayed with very soon, including the radical vicar. But first, more from Brassy.
Sleep tonight, and may your dreams be death on the cloud passes rain, so let it rain down on here. So let it be.
So let it rain.
Brassy, covering the U2 song. That was a U2 song in tribute to Martin Luther King. And I'm sure that's not the last we'll be hearing from Brassy on the Young Uns podcast. We'll be seeing them again very soon, actually. We'll be going to Poland. We'll bring you our Polish exploits on a future Young Uns podcast. Recently, as I say, we've stayed with some interesting people. We stayed with the sculptor. That was quite harrowing for me because I found out that we walked through and we realised they were in the middle of an exhibition. We got told on the phone by these people. Well, we do apologise, but we're in the middle of an exhibition at the moment, so it'll be a bit cluttered. So when you walk through, there'll be loads of sort of artwork up and that kind of thing. But just walk through and make yourself feel at home and stuff, and we'll come and see you. But I wasn't aware of what kind of artwork this was. I didn't realise the precious nature of this artwork, just how valuable and fragile it was. So Sean, Michael and I come walking through with our suitcases, and myself obviously not being able to see. It was quite a harrowing experience when I suddenly realised, much to our horror, that essentially I could bring down this man's career and this man's livelihood in one foul swoop, because he was a creator of glass sculptures, these really fragile glass sculptures that, you know, probably with one touch could just disintegrate. And here's me walking through with a suitcase, not being able to see, nearly batting into things, and you could just sense the atmosphere in the room. But then later we did a gig in Alderholt, and we stayed with a vicar. Absolutely brilliant vicar, but maybe quite a radical vicar in some ways, because he's not one of these straight down the line vicars, I think it's safe to say. He was telling us a story recently about how he'd got into a little bit of trouble with the bishop, because he decided it'd be good to bring the community into the church. It'd be good to do some art projects. And at first the bishop was like, yeah, good idea, why not? All about getting people into the church. But that was until the vicar explained what he had in mind. He was going to get his daughter, who was is about the age of 19 or 20 and an artist herself, to pose nude so that people could do drawings, life drawings. The bishop wasn't particularly happy about the idea of the vicar's nude daughter lying on the altar in front of parishioners. But the vicar's daughter, who is an artist, when we walked through the room where she was, she turned around and greeted us, and we thought, what the bloody hell is she doing? She had on her desk a dead hedgehog, and she was painting the dead hedgehog. And yeah, she said, I'm currently in the middle of painting a dead hedgehog, and dead animals is my thing. You know, I collect roadkill and stuff, and if any of my friends or family see roadkill, then they pull over and they get it. We've had all sorts of stuff. And basically, she took us to a big freezer, and she opened this massive chest freezer, and there was just like dead badgers and dead shrews and all sorts of different animals packed into this freezer. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about our exploits with the vicar, and because the gig was in his church, actually. I mean, you could argue that a young'un's gig is even more unsavoury than a nude 20-year-old lying on an altar. Nevertheless, the bishop approved. And so here we are in Pip the Vicar's church in Alderholt, talking about our exploits of the day.
We've had a great afternoon with Pip. We've been trampolining. He's got this massive trampoline in the garden.
Unbelievable.
We had
a fantastic game of football.
Yeah.
We should probably... The young'uns versus the vicarage.
I felt really
quite bad because I...
Pip's excellent. No wonder you felt bad, Michael.
Pip's daughter was playing and I got a bit competitive and I took her out. And then it got worse when Pip tried to do some kind of Maradona turn and I took him out with a two-footer challenge. Oh, it was wonderful.
He's a very
surprise you're here, actually.
He's a very forgiving man, though, so... cover the territory, I suppose. We shouldn't start talking about Pip and the fact that he's got a trampoline and stuff, because he probably keeps it hush-hush and says, well, I'm a bit poor today, put a bit more collection money in that.
Oh, we had a lovely time in the hot pot.
I nearly said hot pub there. Well, you might have thought I made a mistake, but actually, because I'm one of those as well. Anyway.
It's time to return to North Borehunt, where people are now so insistent on Michael taking his jumper off that they're not even bothered in listening to the stories that we're trying to tell. They're just now heckling randomly for Michael to take his jumper off.
She looked at my lifeline and she said, oh...
Gonna take your jumper off.
Let's all just heckle him so we can't get the story out. Here we go.
It's nice to see that the audience are dwelling on the same joke for It's original. And she said, yeah, she said, oh, unfortunately, you're going to be dead when you're 40. Oh. That makes you feel guilty for heckling it now, doesn't it? So,
oh, my goodness, what on earth was going on there?
Was that you, Michael? No, it's because the bass was feeding back, so I couldn't hear what was going on.
That flipping cardigan.
Oh. It's the friction, isn't it? Cause there. It's all the static that's built up. Ah! You see? Ridiculous. Come on, Michael, they're not going to be satisfied until you take it off.
Oh. Just take the bloody thing off, Michael.
Do it for your audience, it's what the people want. For the sake, we might get some more savings if you do that. Come on. Come on. So Davey's going to do his song now.
No, you're going to take your job.
In fact, I'm going to sit here. Excellent. The best thing that's happened all night. Right, okay.
You know what you always say to me, Davey?
Yes.
Sean, why do people think we're gay? And you've just demanded that you won't sing a song until Michael undresses.
It's what the people want, but I'm just going to sit here then. Who's the idiot now?
He's took it off.
I'm not going to sing a song. I'm just stood up, that's all I'm doing.
Thank you very much, sir, for saving the day. That could have been the end of us.
Unbelievable. You have got something on under there, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but it might be like a little skimpy vest, you know.
Hey, well.
You might have a compromising stain on it or something.
A little bit longer at the toilet than you should have done, right? Oh, yeah. Anyway, right. So, back to the point.
Reality.
Yeah, come on. But I wasn't until you interrupted. If you stop interrupting, Michael, I will sing the song. In fact, you're not even needed for this next song. You might as well leave now. There you go. You won't give the audience what they want. You might as well leave. So,
despite me sitting down on the floor and refusing to sing, Michael still would not take his jumper off. Unbelievable. And it got to the encore, and Michael still refused to take his jumper off. Just as I was begrudgingly accepting the fact that the audience were not going to get the climactic end that they wanted, Michael then said, oh no, but you should take your top off. And I said, why the bloody hell should I do that? He said, oh, because it'd be funny, won't it? Because, you know, and then Sean decided it was a good idea for me to take my top off as well. And so I had a sense of duty about me. I realised that people had paid good money to come and see us. And if the people of Borehunt wanted to see flesh, then the people of North Borehunt would get flesh. I gallantly took off my top and the encore consisted of me parading around naked. Well, not naked, but just without a top on. And we'll end with the clip of that happening. So thank you very much for listening. Oh, no, we will not. What am I doing? Before we do that, there's something to look forward to, but before we do that, it's time to reveal the Forked Up Folk Song. We asked you, can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues, which were sandwich gourmet feta, coleslaw, ribeye place, per pavlova, door, feta, coleslaw. It is now time to reveal the answer, and then I'll get topless.
Sandwich, gourmet feta, coleslaw, ribeye place, per pavlova, door, feta, coleslaw.
Yeah.
Wild Rover, everybody, sandwich, gourmet feta, coleslaw, ribeye place, per pavlova, door, feta, coleslaw.
So there we are, the Wild Rover was the answer, and the Wild Rover was what I was as I undomesticated with reckless abandon, prowled the stage topless to satiate the desires of the people of North Borehunt. And we'll end with this clip. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in the next couple of weeks or so with another Young'uns podcast. But until then, from me, David Eagle, goodbye.
Absolutely superb. I think I've just taken a couple of minutes, or not, probably less than a minute, to derobe that jumper. I I think Tiger is going to lend him one of his shirts, but I don't think he'd quite get into that. So I'm sure they'll come back, won't they? Yeah. Well, welcome back, the Young'uns.
I showed him it was boss.
Yes. Michael agreed, because he won't take it off still, but Michael has agreed to wave his feet tonight, give it to me, and so I've done that. So thank you very much for that, Michael.
Thank you.
Can I have my t-shirt now?
Oh, I don't know where it is. Sources have been got for me.
Very good.
We see who the lucky person is.
Say that our luckiest bit about this is there's no reviewers in tonight. It's a shame, I think. But anyway, simply the chest. Anyway. Right. Okay.
Have you enjoyed yourselves?
Can we thank Janet for feeding us?
Very good. The amount that Michael's eaten might have something to do with why he doesn't want to take his clothes off. And that was our encore. Thank you very much, everybody.